Christmas is nearly upon us, so I'm not continuing my series on 1 Samuel this morning. I'm preaching on preparing for Christmas, because we're all preparing for Christmas. And we've got three readings this morning that focus on the incarnation of Jesus, the Son of God. So if we could have our three readers up, that would be really great. They know what order they're reading in.
This reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Amen.
Amen.
John 1:1-5 and 9-14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. So I'm reading from Matthew 1:22-23. And I read, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us."
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much to the readers. You know, we have to face the fact, as we are preparing for Christmas, that Christmas is no longer a Christian festival for most people. Christmas has been taken over by secular forces. It's been taken over by the media. It's been taken over by materialism. Carols have been taken over by pop songs. And you find that the whole time, don't you, as you go around the shopping centres now. It's not carols that are being played, it's all the pop songs that are being played. The Christmas nativity scenes have been taken over by Father Christmas and Rudolph and the Grinch. Christmas Bible stories have been taken over by Harry Potter stories. Going to church to worship Jesus has been taken over by going Christmas shopping and visiting Santa's grotto. Christmas sermons have been taken over by Christmas films and video games. So Christmas has been stolen in many ways. We were up in Leeds yesterday, and our daughter Bethany was saying how she'd gone, I think, to a birthday party of one of her children, and she just was overhearing conversation of other mums talking together. And one of the mums was complaining because of a children's cartoon, which was about Rudolph having hurt his leg or something like that, so that Santa wasn't able to deliver the presents on Christmas Eve. And Bethany's ears pricked up, because this lady was saying, you know, they're not telling the true Christmas story. You know, they're spoiling the true Christmas story. And she thought, well, maybe this lady's a Christian. You know, she's going to talk about Jesus. And basically, she was saying, they're spoiling the story of Father Christmas and Santa's sleigh. And therefore, they're spoiling Christmas because they're not doing the true story of Christmas. No idea that actual fact, the true Christmas story is all about the birth of Jesus Christ. It's not about Father Christmas. You know, Christmas and New Year can be one of the hardest times of the year to be a Christian. Did you realize that? Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, many of us will face temptations and pressures which we don't face in the same way at any other time. The temptation to eat too much. That's already begun. The temptation to drink too much. The temptation to spend too much. The temptation to watch too much ungodly stuff on our devices or on our TVs. We have the temptation of lazing around too much, don't we? The temptation to argue too much, particularly if you've got difficult members of the family coming for Christmas. And so I want us as Christians to redeem Christmas as a truly Christian festival for each one of us here this year. Because Christmas is Christ's Mass. It is all about the birth of Jesus Christ. Christmas is all about the birth of hope and love and joy and peace into our sad and sinful world. Christmas is about God coming down to earth to rescue and save us. This Christmas, God calls us to put Jesus Christ back in the heart of our Christmas. And the heart of Christmas is the incarnation. Now, don't be put off by the word incarnation. It simply means God giving up heaven, becoming flesh and taking on human form. It simply means the gift of Jesus to us, the Savior of the world born for us. If Jesus had not been born, there would be no Christmas. But more than that, there would be no hope, no salvation, no cross, no forgiveness, no resurrection. We would have nothing in that sense to celebrate. The incarnation bore all of those things to us. It is God's greatest gift to us. And John 3:16 proclaims that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God sent Jesus to save and rescue each one of us. Praise God. That is the message of Christmas. That is what we're celebrating. And you know, you can only truly celebrate it if you know God and Jesus in your heart and in your life. Otherwise, it's an empty celebration. So I believe there are three keys to us enjoying Christmas in 2025. The first key is celebrate incarnation. This Christmas, don't worship food and drink and presents and parties. Celebrate the heart of Christmas, the gift of Jesus to you. The gift of Jesus to you, to your family, to your community. The gift of Jesus to you. You know, whatever our situation is this Christmas, even if we are surrounded by loneliness, even if we're surrounded by grief because we've lost loved ones, we can still celebrate the incarnation. Doesn't matter what circumstances we are in, we can still celebrate the gift of Jesus to us. To me, to you. Incarnation is Emmanuel, God with us. It's not about a God who is remote, a God who is distant. It's not about a God who is an angry God pouring out wrath and judgment. It's Emmanuel, God with us. God with you, that means. God with me. It's incredible things, but what does that really mean? It means God with us as we do our Christmas shopping. You know, you can know God with you in Meadow Hell. It's an incredible thought, isn't it? I steer clear of the place, particularly anywhere near Christmas. Well, you have to get the crowds, don't you, to be able to actually get there in the first place. But God with us as we do our Christmas shopping. God with us in our financial worries at Christmas time. God with us at the staff party when everyone else is getting drunk. God with us in the temptations that we may face this Christmas. God with us over Christmas when we're surrounded by chaos, if you are surrounded by chaos. When you're surrounded by annoying relatives that you only have to see once a year. When you're surrounded by unruly kids and you've stepped on multiple pieces of Lego. And broken presents and crying kids, you know, because it's a real pressure, isn't it, at Christmas? Because it's everyone's meant to be happy. You know, my childhood memories of Christmas was, yeah, it was a great, great time. But, you know, there was this pressure that everyone had to be happy. But inevitably, it seemed to end up with some sort of row or doors being slammed in the house because it didn't quite work out as everyone dreams. That's the problem, isn't it? We can have such expectations of Christmas. It's going to be such a wonderful time. The problem is you're in close company with loads of other people, and we're like hedgehogs when we come together, don't we? You know, we have our spines out, and we end up hurting each other and affecting each other can so often happen, and we can have this sort of almost romantic dream about how wonderful Christmas is going to be. You know, in a month's time, it's all going to be over. Yeah, praise the Lord. All the trimmings and trappings. A month's time, it'll all be over. But we can still know Emmanuel, God with us. God with us in January. God with us in the post-Christmas blues. God with you in your family struggles and tensions. God with you in your loneliness when you're on your own and you're separated from your family and friends. You know, Christmas is one of the hardest times, I find, to lead church services. Perhaps 2/3 of people are having a wonderful time, such a special time, but the other third, it can be the most painful and hardest time of year. Because it highlights our loneliness. It highlights our loss if we've lost loved ones. It highlights sometimes our depression if we're struggling with mental health challenges. But Emmanuel is God with us in our illness. God with us in our pain. God with us in our suffering. God with us in our depression, our despair, and our frustration. God with us in our aching grief of the loss of a loved one. Whatever our circumstances this Christmas, we can celebrate the incarnation. It's not about superficial materialism, but the reality of the incarnation, the reality of who the baby Jesus really is. He is, as we've just heard, the wonderful counselor. Praise God. Just unpack that for a moment. He's the wonderful counselor. Forget about all the counselors you might go to with all your problems. He is the wonderful counselor. He's the one to go to. He's the one who can counsel you in the deepest and most difficult times. He is the mighty God. He has authority. In all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. He's a mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's never going to die. We may, all those around us may die, but he is the everlasting Father. You know, we may have lost a precious dad who really loved us, but that precious dad is nothing like the everlasting Father. The everlasting Father. He's a Prince of Peace in all the chaos of life, in all the chaos of the world, with all the conflicts in the world. He is the Prince of Peace, folks. He came to save his people from their sins. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But the wonderful thing is we can not only celebrate the incarnation, we can experience the incarnation. We can experience the incarnation. The truly Christian Christmas is not just about the historical fact of Jesus coming down to earth and living amongst us. The truly Christian Christmas is all about experiencing the reality of God's Holy Spirit with us today and throughout this Christmas and New Year period. When Beatrice was just leading us in prayer, he was praying that the Holy Spirit would be here today, that he would be at work in our lives today. And that is the incarnation, folks. That's experiencing the incarnation. The true Christian Christmas is all about experiencing the reality of God's Holy Spirit with us today and throughout Christmas and through the New Year periods. Jesus came not just to be incarnated into the world as the Son of God and Savior of the world. Jesus came to be incarnated into your life and into my life by the Holy Spirit. That's incredible. Because it's not a truth just out there. It's a truth that affects our hearts, affects our souls deep within us. Just as Jesus was incarnated into the world, so the Holy Spirit must be incarnated into our lives. The Holy Spirit of Jesus. When Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "You must be born again by the Spirit," what was Jesus saying? He was saying, just as Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was born into this world at Bethlehem, so my Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, must be born into your life, must be incarnated into your life. If you are a true Christian today, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. That's incredible. That's wonderful. The Holy Spirit has been incarnated into you. Just as Jesus was incarnated into our world, so the Holy Spirit, if we're born again, is incarnated into you, into me. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. And it's the Holy Spirit within you that will help you to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. Because he is the gift of Jesus. He brings Jesus to us. He is Jesus within us by the Spirit. And that's what the incarnation is all about. So we not only celebrate incarnation, we experience incarnation. Let's just pray now. Don't worry, I haven't finished preaching. But let's just pray now and ask the Holy Spirit to be incarnated this Christmas into our lives. Yeah, Lord, as we're talking about the incarnation, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be incarnated into each of our lives today, this Christmas. And Lord, that we would know the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit within us, upon us this Christmas time. Lord, we pray that, Lord, we would be so filled with the Holy Spirit that those, whether they are family members or relatives or the people around us, Lord, would know that, Lord, we have the Holy Spirit of Jesus living within us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our lives, be incarnated into our lives today, Lord, we pray. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So today, if you want to celebrate the true heart of Christmas, you must be born again by the Holy Spirit. And the question needs to be asked, have you been born again by the Holy Spirit? If not, you will never be able to fully experience and celebrate the true meaning of Christmas, because Jesus wants each one of us to experience the reality, the power, the blessing of the incarnation in each of our lives. The old carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, has these words in it: cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Now, the Holy Spirit wasn't invented as part of the Pentecostal movement. It's been there right the way through, from the gift of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And we can know the Holy Spirit casting out our sin, entering into our lives, being born in us today, abiding with us, our Lord Emmanuel, God with us. And so this Christmas, Jesus invites us to come and experience incarnation, to be born in us today. And the New Testament makes clear, not only do we need to be born again by the Spirit, but we need to be continually filled by the Spirit. The New Testament teaches it's important not to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, but to keep in step with the Spirit's work in our lives. If we really want to celebrate Christmas this year, if we really want to experience Christmas this year, we need to be, yes, filled with the Holy Spirit. If we want to know God with you this Christmas, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want strength to stand up to all the temptations you will face this Christmas time, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want courage to face the loneliness and the illness and the depression that you may be living with this Christmas, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you need to be comforted in your grief this Christmas, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the comforter, the paraclete, and he comforts us. I'm sure many of us, particularly the children, are eagerly desiring an expensive present this Christmas. It's one of the pressures on parents, isn't it? And grandparents, can I say, as a grandparent. You know, the lists, you go on the Amazon wish list, and you rather wish you hadn't gone on the Amazon wish list. You know, you see the cost of some of these gifts and presents, and then when they come, they're plasticky things that are going to be half the price in January. Did you realize that? And probably even quarter of the price in January. The true price of what they're actually worth in January, but it's just inflated price before Christmas. If you didn't realize that, then just a bit of advice to you. You know, Christmas lists are filled with impossible expensive toys and games and phones and iPads and bikes and whatever it is. But there's one gift that God urges each of us to eagerly desire this Christmas, and it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God says, put it as your number one on your Christmas present list. Put it as your number one on your Christmas list. Because if you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, it will totally transform your Christmas, and it will totally transform the rest of your life. Amen? God not only wants us to celebrate incarnation, he not only wants us to experience incarnation in our lives, he wants us also to be incarnation. Be incarnation. Jesus wants you and I to be Christmas to others, to be Jesus to other people. Just as Jesus was incarnated in the flesh, just as the Holy Spirit incarnates Jesus to us, so we are called to incarnate Jesus to those around us at Christmas time. That's why, as a church, we do all that we do, trying to reach out with the message of Jesus to others. That's why we're doing a coffee stop at the bus stop, and why we do food bank and the CAP Debt Center and the Lighthouse Ministries and all these other things, because we want to incarnate Jesus to others. We want to be incarnation to others. Jesus himself calls us to be salt and light in society. Salt and light at the office party. Have some of you got your works or your office parties to go to? You need to be salt and light. Salt and light among your family and friends. Salt and light in the community at this Christmas time. That doesn't mean to say you've got to preach at people. It means being like Jesus in every situation. It means being in the world but not of it. And God calls you and me today to incarnate Jesus to our friends, to our family, to our colleagues. What a privilege. The Bible tells us that we are God's ambassadors. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. How you behave, how you speak, will affect what other people think of Jesus. It will affect, you know, just as an ambassador of a country is there responsible to make people think well of their country, to be a good ambassador. So we are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ this Christmas, to share and model the life of Jesus to others. I sometimes say it in my last church. I was quite well known in the community and people knew about the church. And sometimes I would meet someone out on the street and they would say, "Oh, I met so-and-so from your church." I thought, great. They will have had a really good impression of Jesus from that person, because that person's full of the Holy Spirit. They shine Jesus through. And, you know, it's worth going on to talk to this person and challenge that person. Some other times I'd be walking down the street and someone would say to me, "Oh, I know so-and-so from your church." And I almost think, well, there's not much point in continuing the conversation. Because that person will have seen bad attitudes and wrong attitudes and not good things at all. And it's probably unlikely that that person's going to be interested in Jesus, because they think, if the Christian's like that, then I don't want to become one. Now, what sort of advertisement are you for Jesus this Christmas? What? How are you going to shine for Jesus in your life? That is so, so important. But you know, we can only incarnate Jesus to our friends and our families and colleagues if we are where they are, if we spend time with them. Jesus could not be incarnated to us but stay in heaven, separated from all the squalor and sin of earth. Jesus left all the wonders of heaven and came and lived among us. That's incredible. It's the most incredible thing that's ever happened in our world. And half the world says it is the most important thing that's ever happened in the world, because, you know, the world wasn't created 2,025 years ago. It's approximately, they got a bit wrong, but 2,025 years since God visited Earth. Our whole dating system is based on Jesus' birth being the most important event that has ever affected world history. The gift of God's one and only Son. The birth of God's one and only Son. He was incarnated to us. He left all the wonders of heaven and came and lived among us. And we can only incarnate Jesus to others if we are where they are. And so I want to do a risky thing today. I want to encourage you as a Christian to go to the office party, to go to the social events. Dare I even say it, and you can shoot me afterwards, go to the pub and nightclub with them. But be incarnation. Incarnate Jesus when you are there. Be Jesus to them. Tell you a totally true story. Around 20 years ago, a mature couple who lived on the other side of Sheffield in Totley came back to God and came back to church, and it was wonderful. And they were here in this church for a couple of years before they moved away from Sheffield and moved to the coast. And 20 years later, they're still going on with God and serving God in their new church. And I know the reason why they came back to God and why they came back to church. Their first contact with this church was when a 17-year-old member of this church went to a friend's birthday party at Christmas time, I think it was. And she had a good time. She had a great time at the party, but she didn't get drunk. But when her friends became very, very drunk, she became Jesus to them. She helped them home. She cleaned up after they were sick. She made sure that they were safe. And one of those friends was this couple's son. And this couple saw this 17-year-old girl bring their son back, totally drunk, being sick all over the place. They saw her cleaning up his sick. They saw her trying to make sure that she was all right, he was all right. And they saw in that 17-year-old girl's life, Jesus. And they wanted Jesus back in their lives. And they wanted to go back to church. And the only church they wanted to go to was Rock Christian Center, this little girl's, or this young girl's church. I think that's so powerful. I think that's totally beautiful. So this couple, for the next 2 or 3 years, traveled over from Totley, posh side of town, to come to the onion factory it was in those days, to worship Jesus, and to worship Jesus alongside this 17-year-old girl. That 17-year-old girl was our daughter, Bethany. And she's still incarnating Jesus to people 20 years later. Yesterday, Trish and myself were up in Leeds. So was this manger here. And we were up in Leeds to look after Bethany's children while her and her husband did a nativity trail around the local estate, which they invited, they advertised in all the schools and everything else, with many non-Christians going around experiencing something of the story of Jesus through that estate. And they're looking to plant maybe a congregation in that estate to worship Jesus. You know, that is being incarnation. I don't say that because I'm proud that it just happened to be my daughter. But you know, it could be your daughter, your son, you could be anybody. You know, it could be you that God uses to bring other people back to God or to bring them to God. You know, if only we will model Jesus to others. If only we will live out that life in Jesus to others. And so God calls you this Christmas to incarnate Jesus to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to all your workmates. Jesus doesn't call us to sit in judgment on those around us who are getting drunk or whatever. He calls us to love them, to shine Jesus to them. Praise God that Jesus, when Jesus saw you in all the mess and the sin of your life, he didn't sit in judgment on you. That's incredible, isn't it? When Jesus saw you in all the mess, all the stinkiness of your life, he didn't sit there in judgment on you. He loved you. And he gave his son for you. Not so that you may just continue wallowing in that mess, but so that you could be changed, so that you could be transformed. He sent his only son, Jesus, to help you, to rescue you, to clean you up, to care for you, to bring you back to his place to live forever. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus came down. God came down in order to save and rescue us so that we could go back and spend eternity in his house. Praise God. That's the destiny if you're a Christian. No, it's not about making money here on earth or living the good life here. It's knowing that our place is in the Father's house in glory. Praise God. All too often, Christians and churches are sat in judgment of unbelievers and their immorality. We've said as Christians, it's wrong to mix with sinners. It's wrong to go to certain places, to pubs or clubs or whatever it may happen to be. The Bible doesn't say it's wrong to go. Jesus, went to every den of sin and iniquity that he could find in Israel, didn't he? And the religious people of his day accused him of spending all his time partying, feasting, and drinking. He said he was a glutton and a friend of sinners. Jesus' closest friends were notorious sinners, prostitutes, criminals, terrorists, tax collectors. But Jesus never compromised himself. Praise God. He never compromised himself. And if we're full of the Holy Spirit, there is no place we cannot go and be Jesus to the people there. Amen? Amen. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, there's no place that you can't go and be Jesus to the people who are there. How did God bring salvation to us? Did he shout from heaven to us? No. Did he tell us that we were awful sinners and we're all facing hell and damnation? No. Did he send his angels to do an angelic leaflet drop? No, sorry, John. He didn't send a leaflet drop. Did he even invite us all to Alpha courses? No. God sent his one and only Son, the incarnation. He came and lived among us. He identified with us. He shared our lives. He was God with us. He calls us to do the same, to be incarnation to our family, our friends, our colleagues this Christmas time. Our family, our friends, your workmates need Jesus living among them this Christmas time, don't they? Yeah? How can we prepare for Christmas 2025? Celebrate incarnation. Jesus was born to save us from our sins. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Experience incarnation. Allow Jesus to be born in you this Christmas. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God within you in every situation. And be incarnation. Be so filled with the Holy Spirit that you can be Jesus to everyone around you this Christmas. And you can have fun. Because you can really celebrate Christmas, not because of Father Christmas, but because of the gift, the wondrous gift that has been given to you, the gift of God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let's stand and let's pray together. Yeah, Father God, Lord, I pray that as we prepare for Christmas, Lord, help us to celebrate the incarnation. Lord, help us to truly be filled with that joy deep in our hearts and souls because of the wondrous gift that's been given that, Lord, you are Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, would each one of us know your presence with us, Emmanuel, God with us, in the deepest and darkest moments of these next few weeks. Lord, in the happiest times. Lord, in In all the chaos of Christmas, Lord, may we know and experience God with us, Emmanuel. Lord, may we experience that incarnation. Lord, may we know what it is to be born again by the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, God within us in every situation. And Lord, empower us to be incarnation, to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we can be Jesus to everyone around us this Christmas time, Lord, we pray. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, fill us with your Spirit. Prepare us to be the people you've called us to be this Christmas and New Year season, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, amen. Amen.